You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Join the over 100,000 Browns
fans.
Big
number.
That's a huge number. Who are registered, $100,000, by the way. That's what Mike Tomlin had to pay in his fine for stepping on the field. Just that reminded me of that.
But he should have, like, tackled him if he's going to get
$100,000. Exactly. And they may take, like, draft picks away from the Steelers. Gee, we'd hate that, huh? Join the more than 100,000 Browns fans who are registered members of the Browns Backers Worldwide Fan Club. Receive merchandise discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to learn much more.
Was somebody having a VIP experience with you last night, Notorious? I saw some on Twitter, like somebody had dinner with you, and they were all fired up about it.
This was the thing I was talking about with the fan. We had some guests from Sherwin Williams. Definitely was the overall provider of the folks who came in, or the provider of the event. And then a bunch of people were gathered outside our studio. I was in here writing my column for ClevelandBrowns.com, and I forget who. Oh, Lindsay was leading the tour, and Lindsay looked in here, and I looked at Lindsay. I said, "You know what?" I said, "Bring them all in. Come on, let them, because they were taking pictures outside the glass, and I felt a little awkward just sitting in here and having people like take pictures through the glass. I said, "Come inside, so you guys can sit." And they like sat, and I said, "That's Nathan's chair." And by the way, shout outs for you from Vera. Is Nathan here? Is Nathan around? Where's Nathan? And I said, I'm here.
Out and about.
I mean, you know, Nathan.
Yeah, you're the one with the nickname.
I said, exactly. No, but you just to let you know, you had a lot of love from these folks who felt like
I'm sending the love right back to them right now.
They were missing something. I said, well, come back during the hours of 1 to 3 when Nathan's office hours,
and
you can hang out with him. But it was a lot of fun. Yes, and we had dinner. In fact, they served Italian food, and I got fired up during my little talk. Because you know what Italian food does
fire you up.
Marinara sauce.
There's no question.
The marinara sauce.
Right. The gabagool.
The gabagool, definitely. You get the lingo. I love it. Hey, Mike does too. 216-578-0850. Mike, who is on a cell. Hello, Mike.
Thank you very much. I'd like to make a couple comments, please, if I could, about the Browns season.
Please.
And especially this past weekend where I attended the game. The first thing I'd like to say is that I think there's a total disconnect between Chud and the players and Mike Lombardi and Banner. What I mean by that is I really feel deep in my heart that Mike Lombardi and Banner are planning for next year, and they didn't expect to win this year. And I think there's a disconnect where Chud is trying very desperately with the players that he has on his roster to bring a winning team, to win just one game. And I don't see that from Banner. I don't see that from Lombardi. And the reason why I don't see that is the way they're bringing in people. McGahee as a running back, people off practice squads for quarterbacks. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
If he really cared about trying to win this year, they would have done more due diligence after Hoyer went down and bring in an established quarterback, even if he was someone that was a veteran that was cut that's out there. Right. The other thing I like to make a comment is that one of the strongest points of our team for many, many years has been our offensive line with Joe Thomas and Mac. And I must say, I really feel this year has shown a regression in our offensive line, and I think it's extremely overrated. We're second or third most in the NFL in sacks, if I'm not mistaken. So we can complain all we want about Whedon, but he definitely does have to have a little bit more time to set up back there and throw the ball.
Okay, Mike, very good points, but I want to get into the first. Your second one was better than your first one, though. The line, I don't think, has played as well as it has needed to. It needs work. They need
no doubt
people. I mean, they need talent upgrades there, and I think they will pursue that. To tie into your first point, you said a disconnect between Joe Banner / Michael Lombardi and the coach and the coaching staff. By nature, personnel people are always looking to next year. That is what they have to do, because during the course of a season, you have to study the draft prospects that you are going to get the following year because of those simultaneous seasons, right? College football, I mean, that's how you do this job. Scouts are on the road all year long checking these players out. And Michael Lombardi, especially with Ray Farmer, the assistant GM, checking out a lot of quarterbacks, in addition to the other positions that scouts fanning all over the entire country are doing. And every team in the league is doing that. Okay, so your thought is you're specific point was they're not doing anything to help a coaching staff, and coaches deal only with the here and now. They have to try to win. Their security, their livelihood depends on that. They're judged on that. And yes, the people running the team are also judged on the team's win-loss record ultimately, but their focus does have to stay ahead. And I don't agree with you that they don't want to win or that they're not expecting to win. I think what they're thinking is you build this thing in steps and in phases. You don't get your point about if you had Brian Hoyer hurt, you'd find another quarterback that would make it all better. Who was that guy? Where was that guy? Where are you getting him? Because no one else did either. I mean, when you make a comment like that, you make it sound as if the Browns were the only team that had to replace a starting quarterback. And guess what? They weren't. And we've seen what's happened in other places where teams have gone to the outside to bring a quarterback in, and look at the results. Not so pretty. Not so pretty at all. Buffalo Bills would be another example. And they were, by the way, just trying to deal with a rookie who was finding his way. So I don't know what EJ Manuel is, but he was their starter, and they couldn't solve it any more than the Green Bay Packers could or can with Aaron Rodgers out. And that's the best example that we've constantly pointed to. But disconnect, no. That would be the wrong way to describe it. They are naturally – one is naturally more focused on here and now. Coach, personnel, more focused on the future.
It's part of the process and part of the natural split, I think, of those positions. But you better believe they want to win here, and they want to build a winner the likes we were just talking about of Bill Belichick, who's had 13 straight winning seasons. That's the goal here. And while year number one may not go as planned, obviously as a coach, you're supposed to do the best with the personnel that you're given by the personnel department. And you have to remember, this personnel department inherited something that they didn't put together. Now they're taking their time to put together that group. We'll have to see how that turns out in the future. But that's, I think, believe me, they are all on the same page in terms of what they want for this organization. Long-term, short-term, yes, you would like to win. But it's not easy to win, and there's no team in the NFL to be winning if they were starting their fourth-string quarterback or third-string quarterback on a regular basis. Not a single team in the league.
John in Wisconsin with us now. Hey, John.
Janoon, Notorious, and Nate the Great.
How you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. I got one point on Brown's history, and then I have one comment to make on this year's team that I would like to hear your opinion on. First, the one on Brown's history, and I was surprised Hanford didn't talk about this yesterday. We did go through a quarterback situation like this back in 1988. We lost Bernie week one. Gary Danielson broke his ankle week two. Mike Pagel came off. He got injured with a separated shoulder, I think, in week six or week seven against the Seahawks. Don Strock was signed off a golf course by Ernie Accorsi. He quarterbacked week eight. Then Bernie came back. We lost Bernie on Monday night to John Offerdahl. Then Don Strock saved us, got us in the playoffs. Don Strock got injured in the wild card game. And then Mike Pagel came in, and we lost a heartbreaker. So that team went 10-6, obviously had more talent, more experience and everything. But we have been through quarterback headaches like this in the past. So
yeah, I mean, you're making a great point and a great historical reference, and I know what you're talking about. But I was going to say, going through that with an established guy like Kozar is a little, you know, easier, if that's the right way to put it, than when you have zero established people, too.
Totally agree, Vic, but just wanted to bring back some Browns history for people who have been around here forever. Here's my comment that I'd like your opinion on, gentlemen. You guys had a really good discussion about maybe a week or two ago talking about team leaders, and you guys were trying to talk and name how many leaders do you really think we have on our team. And, you know, with the discussion today about, you know, guys trying hard, I think, you know, our guys care. I think our guys play hard. They mean well. It's just that we just, in my opinion, aren't a very talented football team. And I think Bill Parcells once said a number of years ago, before you can learn how to win football games, you got to learn how not to lose football games. And I think that's a problem with this Browns team, you know, with turnovers, stupid penalties, and mental errors. And we're just too young and inexperienced in terms of trying to figure out a way to not lose football games. And, you know, I told my wife this past weekend, I try to watch a lot of college football, and I don't mean this to be a slam on this year's Browns team in any way, shape, or form, but guys, there may be more future Pro Bowlers on the current Florida State team than there are on our current 2013 Cleveland Browns team. So thanks for the show. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
Thanks, John, very much for those points. And, I think the leadership thing and the Parcells point he made are all valid. But leadership and all of those bonding experiences come with winning. Yes, they come with success. learn how not to lose. This team definitely hasn't gotten that lesson down, and it is just a matter of quality players or lack thereof, and I think that's what's got to change. Let's get one more here. Tim in Virginia. Hey, Tim.
How y'all doing?
Good. Great. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Listen, man, I agree with what the guy just said. This team is going to be good. These coaches are going to do good. We have to get a basic group of guys that can play. You just can't turn it around. Everybody on the team is not a superstar. Matter of fact, it may not be but one or two. But the other thing, I don't see why everybody's so upset about, oh, what we're going to do about this quarterback. That can't be a Cleveland Brown fan that thought we could go into this next game with my man, I ain't going to even call his name, and have a chance to win. These guys got just as much chance to win as he does. You never know. One of them may turn out to be something. Have no idea. I'm glad for the opportunity for them to play, and I hope the defense doesn't get too tore up. You know, it's easy to get down on everybody, but, man, just keep playing ball. Just keep playing your position. Make sure you're going to be here next year. Instead of worrying about everybody else, make sure you're going to be on the team next year by playing your position. Fellas, y'all have a good one. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that shout out as well. It would be true. It would be fun to see a crazy story emerge with any of these guys. Well, I'll take anything at this point with any of these young quarterbacks.
Sure.
Jameer Howerton had a chance to go inside the locker room with safety Tashawn Gibson. Jameer, take it away.
Thanks, Vic. Tayshawn, as you guys gear up to get ready for the New England Patriots, if you could just talk about the theme as you guys head into this work week.
Pretty much the overall theme is just, being consistent this week, being consistent, whether it's special teams, defensively as well as offensively. We just want to go out there and be consistent, and you got to be consistent to be the great group of a team like this going against the New England Patriots with Tom Brady at the helm. So you definitely want to be consistent, and that's definitely what we're going to do this week.
What makes Tom Brady so special?
It's just everything, just him just being overall complete competitor, him just being, just going out there and just being the consummate pro. I think that his film study kind of shows when you go in there able to pick away defenses and things like that. So as a back end guys, I think that this game is going to truly rest on our shoulders because it's going to be all four of us against, him and his guys. So it's definitely going to be a great challenge, and I think that our defense is definitely able to hold up against anybody. So we definitely are going to have our hands full.
And Tayshawn, what's your mindset as you head into the work week because you're gearing up to face one of the league's best tight ends in Rob Gronkowski?
Just going in there, for the most part, just doing my job. I don't want to look at it like that. I just want to make sure I do everything in my power that I can to help this defense out. And whether that's being back there, man, just being back there with the great T.J. Ward, man, just going through all progressions and just having fun out there. That's at the end of the day, that's really what we want to go out there and do and just play good football. And I think that all 11 is going to come there Sunday ready to play, and I'm excited for this challenge.
Tayshawn, thank you for your time. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, that was Tayshawn Gibson. Yeah, he's going to be part of a massive chore Sunday in trying to cover the one and only Gronk.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski is on fire of late. This is a guy that comes back, and really when you think about it, it is remarkable how quickly he is reassimilated to this New England Patriots team. His first game back, 8 catches, 114 yards. 2 for 27 against Miami, and since then he has been on fire. 9 for 143 with a touchdown against the Steelers. 5 for 59 and a touchdown against Carolina. 7 for 90 and a score against Denver. 6 for 127 and a score against the Houston Texans. And the Cleveland Browns have given up 8 tight end touchdowns in the last 7 games alone to guys whose resume, if you put together their highlight reels of their entire National Football League career, which would all probably be pretty much their games against the Cleveland Browns, don't come close to what Rob Gronkowski's done in just the last month. So bad tight ends have killed the Browns. Gronk has an opportunity to really, really crush the Cleveland Browns. That is not a good matchup, and this is not the right time for it.
Not loving that at all. But I go back with this kid from when he got in grammar school, middle school, spent some time around my house and with our family. Of course, his older brother Dan was here. Know that family well from their days in Western New York and watched them play a lot of high school ball. Watched Rob play hockey. You haven't seen anything yet until you've seen Rob Gronkowski on skates, taking everybody out in his path when he was like all of about 13. And it was just a sight to behold in East Amherst, New York. So anyway, this guy's was a natural, and he is a natural. I think as a complete tight end, I don't think there's any better. I really don't think. And I'm saying this, I know it sounds biased, but I've watched a lot of tight ends in many years of watching the NFL. To do every single thing he can do physically is just unheard of. So
it's amazing.
It's beyond amazing. All right, we're going to get some perspective in a little bit from Gerard Cherry. He'll join the show. We still want to hear more from you if we have any more callers. We've had some very good calls today, 216-578-0850. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. I'm Vic Carucci. He's Nathan Zagura, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.